From the National Humanities Center, this is Wayne Pond with Soundings, conversations with scholars and visitors at the National Humanities Center. What's the role of women's athletics in American society? What's the status of women and sport in America today, and how should we account for it? Following an earlier program about sports and American social values, those questions are central to the following Soundings discussion. My guests are Carol Mann, president of the Women's Sports Foundation, and Jeanette Boxhill of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Carol Mann is a member of the Ladies Professional Golf Association Hall of Fame. During a 22-year career in professional golf, she won 38 tournaments, including the U.S. Open. Jeanette Boxhill is a professor of philosophy who served as coach of the women's basketball team at the University of Tampa. At the University of North Carolina, she teaches courses in feminism and the philosophy of sport. According to Carol Mann and Jeanette Boxhill, sport consists of three major elements: competition, the development of the body, and self-expression. These are androgynous virtues unrelated to gender, although their expression in athletics has only recently started to shift from men to women. But the recognition of women and sports in America is even today relatively limited. Jan Boxhill from the University of North Carolina and Carol Mann with the Women's Sports Foundation. Our topic is women and athletics, women and sports. Let's begin with some very general questions. Carol, let me start with you. How would you characterize the status of women in sport today?
Well, the status of women in sport today is definitely improved over what it was in the early 1970s. When I say improved, I mean dramatic increases in participation levels for women in high schools, colleges, and overall general middle-class individual women are participating in health and fitness activities. Just to give you an idea, we've had a 600% increase in high school varsity participation in this 15-year period. We've had a 900% increase in women's participation at the college level since the early 70s. And some of the reasons for that are Title IX, obviously, which no longer has any impact, and we're real vulnerable there. Improved role models for of women athletes from the Olympic competitions as well as the professional sports, golf and tennis. And some other reasons would be that health and fitness activities have become real important to our society and culture, not just for men, but for women only, women also.
How, let me be perfectly naive, how old is what we would call women in sports? Jan Boxhill?
I think Title IX was certainly the beginning of recognition in terms of development.
And you date that to when?
I think 1972.
As recently as that.
Right. But I think that many of us have who have been involved in sports for, you know, earlier than that would like to think that the women's sports movement began before that. I think you could put it in the sense of civil rights in one way. I think that women in particular have been denied a method of self-development. Our development has always been attached to our to men, right, in terms of husbands, mothers, and in that regard, or as objects to be viewed at rather than objects of our using our bodies for ourselves. And so I think that in the sense of developing the women's movement in terms of identities for ourselves other than attached to male identities, I think sports has been significant in that respect. And I think actually that sports can be the leader in that too, because it can show us to try to get rid of some of the myths of women. And that's where the women's in sports has always been held down. First of all, the sports is unfeminine, unless it's the allowed feminine sports like gymnastics, which is still very good, but we've been allowed to do certain things. I have never been good at those kinds of grace types of sports. I think they're essential. But I think we have been held to those things where still our bodies are viewed as an object rather than as a development. And so I think that sports is significant in that it will try to get rid of some of those myths about women's bodies can't do certain things. They should not be competitive. And so in that sense, we can be forerunners in the women's movement, but also working with them.
Mm-hmm. How about this, Carol Mann? Be personal for a moment. As you look back on your career as a professional golfer, did you go through what, not to be too dramatic here, but, you know, sort of dark nights of the soul, worrying about your identity as a woman because you happened to be a pro golfer?
I certainly did, because golf tends to copy the male model. And women's golf certainly did copy the male model, with a few exceptions based on travel, travel demands, and so on. The male model for golf was 72 holes of championship golf conducted over, you know, X length of golf course. And I know in the 60s, our golf courses were much too long for the majority of our players' capabilities. They represented the fact that our leading player at the time, Mickey Wright, was a very long hitter. Okay, so yeah, it got plugged into her style of game, which was more in line with the male model. I mean, it was longer, so we changed that in the late 60s. What concerns me is that while we did some things that adapted our sport, our game, the conduct of our championships based on the fact we were women doing this, what concerns me is a lot of sports don't have the autonomy to do that for themselves.
Now,
participants cannot do that.
Let's pause on that. Are you talking here about money and support, for instance, from television and advertising?
No.
What do you mean by autonomy?
No, I'm talking it strictly about the governance, the pure governance of the rules, the regulations, and the conduct of the competition within that sport. The players have no say in that. It is a male-dominated arena at the high school level, the state level, and the NC2A, NAIA, NJCAA, all the major and Olympic competition. It's all male-dominated.
Would you go so far, Jan Boxhill and Carol Mann, we're talking about women in sports, would you go so far as to use a strong word like conspiracy? How did this happen? Are we at the other extreme with lots of good intentions going down the primrose path? What went wrong, Jan?
I'm not exactly sure. I'd like to continue on something she did say, and I think that the male dominance in terms of the governing bodies, the NCAA, the biggest issue to me was, as a coach, we went from AIAW, which was the women's organization, and then it was abolished, and the NCAA took over. I think part of it was our own undoing, and we did it ourselves. The AIAW was very strong. We had rules which regulated the play for college athletics. But I think that because sports in this country, college, whatever level, is seen as a male bastion still, that it is felt that males must take over. And I don't think it was a conspiracy. I think women have that same feeling also, and that's why part of the problem I see with women coaches and still with women athletes, they still have this feeling that males do it better, right? And so...
So how are you going to overcome that, Carol? Is this a generational kind of issue?
You know, we have a real problem with that right now, because it is a fact that in the past 10 years, the number of coaches of women at the college level has been reduced by 50%. Okay.
All right.
Now that, I don't believe that also is I wouldn't put that in conspiracy frame. I think there are some real legitimate reasons for that. And I think because of that, women have to do more to get more attention, to become more qualified in the eyes of the decision makers who are men. Now I have to say this right now. Women's sports is still in the developing stage. Therefore, sensitivity to the developing stage of women's sports would have to be around so that we could adapt and adopt to the needs of the women in sport. Now, we're not just talking about the athletes themselves. We're talking about the coaches of those athletes. We're talking about the administrators of those athletes. We're talking about the media coverage of those athletes. Okay?
We're talking about concentric circles here.
Exactly right. Yeah. And that sensitivity does not exist at the NC2A level currently.
Jan Boxhill, how about this? Are we into a new definition of what we mean when we use a very large word like sport? Its ends and its means? Fire away.
I think you've both touched on the two things that are very close to me. One, and that is the sport itself. One of the things that there are three issues that I think involved with sports. One, I think what I describe sport in its paradigmatic form. First of all, sport in itself is a freely chosen activity. It's something that we participate for developing a self-expression, a self-development, as I continually use the expression self-development, because it's something that every human being ought to be able to do, or another way you can think of it is being autonomous. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, you need to have an activity unrelated to your productive means, so that it's not a work.
It's not making money necessarily.
Excuse me. It's not making money, right? Mm-hmm. There are two sides of us. We do all have to make money. And then we also have to do something unrelated to money in order to develop ourselves. Mm-hmm. Some of us can do that in our jobs. Fortunately, as a philosopher, I can be creative in my philosophy. And it's also my means of work. So that when my work approaches sort of a free creative activity, then it approaches sort of what I call the aspects of sport.
We're back to what is it the anthropologists call homo ludens, mm-hmm. playful humankind.
Right. But it's not just play. Uh-huh. I mean, it's not just free play in the sense of romping. Mm-hmm. There is a play aspect, and that is the freedom to choose, mm-hmm. and the freely creative activity. But because it's rule governed, it takes it away from the sort of play in the romp area, mm-hmm. right? And so it is in the rule government that allows you to, within a certain discipline. Now, some sports have more rules than others, but in that way, it's the play and games come into sport. Uh-huh. In the play aspect, it's free. In the rule governed aspect, it's a game. But the third requirement, that it be physically challenging, it's one that requires bodily excellence. Mm-hmm. All the rules, to a certain extent, in most games or most sports, are imposed in order to achieve bodily excellence.
Mm-hmm. Follow this up for me. Carol Mann from the Women's Sports Foundation and Jan Boxall from the University of North Carolina. I still find here a contradiction. Americans' penchant for somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. Now, help me with this paradox,
well,
Carol.
I think women do want a chance to participate in what's been known as the male model, mm-hmm. in sport, to the degree that they get recognition, they get money. Mm-hmm. I come from a sport where a lot of women are trying to do that, and we have 600 annually that come to try to gain access to the women's tour in golf. Mm-hmm. I don't know the number from tennis, but I know they have hundreds of people available to play. The notion that there is a full choice, I think that's what women want, a full choice of interpretation. If I want to go for the moon in golf, or I want to go for the moon in tennis, the two most highly developed of women's sports at the professional level, or I want to go for the moon in volleyball, mm-hmm. which is becoming more developed, and basketball, which has had two attempts at the professionals and hasn't quite made it yet, but probably will soon. If I want a woman to be able to see that she has that choice. Okay, and I also want a woman to be able to see that she has a choice. If she chooses intercollegiate athletics, she has a choice maybe to be in a sport administrator at some point later, mm-hmm. on. I want those opportunities to be preserved and protected for her. And I will defend that, by the way. And I also want little girls to see role models, mm-hmm. that are appealing, interesting, exciting for them. And I want parents to promote that for those little girls, mm-hmm. all right? So those little girls see that they too have an expanded spectrum of opportunity, mm-hmm. okay? Whether it be to go to the moon with it, like Sally Ride and so on, or whether it be to go to the Supreme Court, like Sandra Day O'Connor, both of these women have had sport as part of their early development. Mm-hmm. And we know there is an achievement associated with including sport in your self-image, and in your ultimate outcome as, mm-hmm. a human being.
I think, first of all, in order to cooperate or compete, you've got to have a self to begin to do it, uh-huh. with. I think the as I say, the male model of sports is not entirely bad, except when, I don't want to use the word bad, but wrong, except when it reaches the point of alienation. It has to do a lot with capitalism, and I don't want to bring in economics, but right. To a certain extent, the way we look at our society, and as you hear the adage, sports builds character for sports makes men out of boys, and it's for that reason they do it for the productive side of the nation. We need it, and we need it both in men and women. One of the biggest issues is still development. We are still in the developmental stage, and something that was pointed out clear to me to show you that it's not simply women, but when I watched the Greek national team play the UNC men's team, it was a sorry game at best, partly because the Greek national team, and this is their best, have nowhere near the skill level of the American teams. And I think that's clearly to do with years of practice. They have not had the years of development in basketball, say, as we have. And in the U.S., men have years on women in basketball. I think we could achieve, and when I look at Pam Leak and others, Cheryl Miller, a lot has to do with just early development. Mm-hmm. And I think we do have the skill level, but not at this time. I think rule changes help, but I think that purely years of training and mm-hmm. encouragement, that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm. Carol, ma'am?
I would like to add to this that opportunities, when you're in development stage, opportunities become real important.
Mm-hmm.
Access to facility and opportunities, programs and so on, that have significance and substance. And opportunities that are given from governing bodies.
Mm-hmm. The people who write the ground rules, in other words.
That's right. The a lot of myths have to be dispelled.
Mm-hmm.
Myths have to be broken. And there have been so many myths shrouding the woman athlete, the myth of her biological assignment and all of that means and what could she do or can't she do. And all this has been since the early 1900s that women have been being protected mm-hmm. and sheltered from these kind of sport opportunity.
The program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. You're listening to a discussion about women and sports in American society. My guests are Carol Mann, president of the Women's Sports Foundation, and Jeanette Boxhill, a professor of philosophy at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and former coach of the women's basketball team at the University of Tampa. According to Carol Mann and Jeanette Boxhill, sport consists of three major elements: competition, the development of the body, and self-expression. These are androgynous virtues unrelated to gender, although their expression in athletics has only recently started to shift from men to women. Yet the recognition of women and sports in America is even today relatively limited. The number of women who coach and administer the most popular intercollegiate sports has decreased by 10% each year since 1977. The number of events open to women in Olympic competition is still less than half that available to men. Finally, Carol Mann and Jeanette Boxhill point to a trend among American boards of education that reduces the role of physical education for boys and girls alike. All right, now tell me, where is the leadership coming from? Carol Mann from the Women's Sports Foundation and Jan Boxhill from the University of North Carolina. Who should we look to for the leadership that's going to improve the lot of women in athletics? Jan?
Well, I think a lot of the leadership should come from players themselves, players who don't have access to professional sports in many regards, like, for instance, the women who are finishing up their years in college basketball really have nowhere to go. They have a lot to say. They have been in a position of a developmental years, a series of developmental years, and so they have seen where they have come from, where we have come from that have played before them, and I think this is one place where our leaders will come from, but in the professional athletes themselves. We do have programs now for sports management, sports science, and I think we see a lot of women in those areas where we previously did not, and that's where the leadership has to also come from. We do not want to take away leadership from men, but if we're going to have cooperative and ventures with male sports, and let's face it, sports, if Bob Simon has reported to me correct, sports is the most thing that is watched and read by anyone in this country. I mean, 97% apparently of people have some relation to sport during the week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not just males, that's males and females. So I think it has to be a cooperative venture.
Mm-hmm.
Men have to recognize that women have an important place in athletics, and women have to recognize that they also do, which is not necessarily a male self-identity.
Mm-hmm. Carol Mann, I'm put you on the spot here. You run the women's, you're the president of the Women's Sports Foundation. Do you see yourself, are you worried about providing this leadership? What steps are you taking?
Well, I worry all the time about this, yes, because I'm a product of it, and I have lots of energy, emotion, and passion on this. And not only that, I must tell you this, the foundation was founded by Billie Jean King,
mm-hmm.
and was presidented for 7 years by Donna DeVerona.
Mm-hmm.
And so the spirit of these two women, Billie Jean coming from the groundswell of tennis and from the grassroots program of tennis up to the pros, and then Donna, really a product of sports through the Olympic process, and myself now once again another professional, the spirit of the foundation is definitely to address and be a leader on these issues and on these problems. Now, I will tell you this, that it's not just three people. The Women's Sports Foundation is not just three people. It is a coalition, a network of thousands of people who in turn represent millions of people. Because in our network, we have YMCA, Girl Scouts, Girls Clubs, Boy Scouts, YWs. I mean, I could go on and on about what our network actually is. What we try to do is bring together the key elements and key people, key organizations on issues. And so we act as a facilitator, basically,
mm-hmm.
In a leadership role with the experts in all of these fields. So we depend heavily on research people. We depend heavily on educators. We depend heavily on athletes themselves. Our list of athletes is about 400 strong, women athletes to carry this message.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be organized. And we, too, the foundation has been in the developmental stage for 10 years, and now we are addressing, and managing all of our mm-hmm. of our resources more carefully in the next 10 years.
Let me ask you to tease out one specific thread. Give me, be very concrete for me. Carol Mann mm-hmm. from the Women's Sports Foundation and Jan Boxhill from the University of North Carolina. If you could name an issue, wave a magic wand and say, here's something that we, you know, if I could fix this right now, here's what I would suggest. Jan, have you got any thoughts on that?
Well, I might have to think if I have to do one issue. I think it's getting women and children, young girls themselves, encouraged enough to want to participate in a bodily activity. I think there are two things that we have to look for in developing a nation. One, you have to have the productive side, but we also have to have productive citizens. And in order to be a productive citizen, it's not simply that you have to make money. It's that you have to have some humanistic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I say that sport is the vehicle and the most available vehicle for that activity. It develops, yes, competition, but as we have said throughout, you can't have competition without cooperation. That exists in society as well. I think that if we view the aspects of sport, which I think are essential, bodily development, competition, and self-expression, those things will not only work for the productive areas in society, in business, politics, and so forth, but they'll work to develop good citizens, cooperative citizens. I mean, as I don't like to see the continued idea that competition is all bad. It isn't, and I think in our society we recognize it as good because that's what has been developed, and that's what's been our economic development throughout. And so we want people who will develop ourselves, help us to develop our excellence, and challenge them to develop themselves in the same respect.
Jan Boxhill from the University of North Carolina, Carol Mann, president of the Women's Sports Foundation. Let's conclude our conversation about women in sports. What would you have a general audience know? Take a couple of minutes and fire away here. What do you think is important? Jan Boxhill?
Okay. It's clear from what we've been saying for the last half hour or so, and it's clear what Carol just said, sports certainly plays a significant part in all of our lives, whether directly or indirectly. Even if you're not a sports enthusiast, the analogies that carry over into business and politics are certainly plentiful. You hear playing team ball.
Yeah.
Reagan uses team and sport analogies regularly. For that reason, women need to participate in that important aspect in our society. The other thing I think is important is sport serves a significant moral function in that it helps develop citizens, it helps develop individuals, but it also dramatizes some of our most dearly held virtues in our society. It dramatizes hard work. It dramatizes justice as fairness in some sorts. It also, unfortunately, in that dramatization, reflects some of the negative aspects of our society. So, but I think what's useful and important in sports is that you can change sports, and therefore maybe that change will also carry over into society. Those things that I think are important about sports in our society are, as I've repeated said before, genderless. For that reason, the equal opportunity in sports, as well as equal opportunities to other benefits and burdens in our societies, are important. So it's not that sport has often been said it's a mere reflection of our society. It is partly a reflection of our society, but it can also serve to change, and that's what the significance of Women's Sports Foundation also is.
Carol Mann?
I'm thrilled you said that, because I do believe that our society can include women in sport, and because of it, I think our society can be better. I'm all for that. I feel I'm a better citizen because I had the development opportunities through sport. I have such a sense of fairness. I come from a sport where the honor and ethics of the game are so highly structured, and I bring to my community, whether it's my neighborhood, whether it's my state, whether it's my country, a sense of ethic and honor and self-monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need somebody to tell me what's right. I have that fairly highly developed because of my sport experience. I wish everybody could. I think the sport of golf is extremely highly developed and attractive because of that. But generally speaking, the structure of sport, what I hate to see, I got to say this one thing, is that when youngsters are taught to use intimidation principles in sport,
yeah.
That bothers me so much. The morality and the value of sport as an ongoing aspect of our society are too precious to interfere with them. And I hope that whoever's doing that, coaching them, can't look in the mirror in the morning.
The program is Soundings. This is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. You've been listening to a discussion about women and sports in American society. The Soundings panelists were Carol Mann of the Women's Sports Foundation and Jeanette Boxhill of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. For a cassette copy of Soundings on Women and Sports in American Society, send $3 to the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, 27709. Next week on Soundings, the first in a series of programs about music history, preservation, and performance. My guest will be James Weaver, Director of Performance and Curator of Musical Instruments at the Smithsonian Institution. Until next week, this is Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. Support for Soundings comes from the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Listen to Soundings. This is Kim Nielsen at the National Humanities Center, inviting you to join Wayne Pond this week for a discussion about women, sports, and American social values. Carol Mann of the Women's Sports Foundation and Jeanette Boxhill of the University of North Carolina discussed the role and importance of women's athletics in America today. Women and Sports in America, some answers and insights, this week on Soundings, from the National Humanities Center on this station.